This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
When you believe Jesus and when you believe the gospel, you are in obedience. If you don't believe Jesus and if you don't believe the good news about grace and the good news about Jesus Christ, you are in disobedience. So you can't stand before God and say, well, God, I did this, I did that, he did. Why are you saying I'm in disobedience? Because you didn't believe my son. You didn't believe Jesus.
Calling all men, September 9th and 10th, join men from all over the world for Mentality Men's Conference. You don't want to miss this free conference. Register now. Text MENTALITY to 51555 or scan the QR code on your screen. See you September 9th and 10th with Creflo Dollar. Visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and grab your free seat. Register now.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read some of it here. He says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings are going to come on you and overtake you, but it's a condition to having the blessings come over you and overtake you. I don't know anybody that want to be blessed, but there's a condition that has to be met. If thou shalt hearken or obey unto the voice of the Lord thy God. He says that's the condition. Your obedience in your actions, that's the condition. You have to show obedience in your actions in order to get all of the blessings. And then he goes on here in verse 3, he says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. He says, blessed shalt thou be the basket, and you'll be in your basket and in your store. He said, blessed thou shalt be when you come in, and blessed shalt thou be when you go out. And it continues to talk about all the blessings that happen, that, you know, God will cause your enemies to rise up against you one way, but they'll be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against you one way. They'll flee. All of the blessings that you've ever heard. And he talks about the blessings that will come, the rewards and the blessings of perfect obedience to the law. The law is 613 laws. 10 of those are the 10 commandments that came from God. And the law of Moses governed by rules and regulations. And he says, if you can perfectly keep all 613, then you can walk in these blessings. It's not, you know, if you can keep about 3 or 4 of them and then you'll get these blessings. No, you had to perfectly keep all of them. And so since no one except Jesus has ever obeyed the law perfectly, please understand that no one except Jesus has obeyed the law perfectly. Nobody in here has obeyed the law perfectly. Please get that right. I don't care how long you've been in church. Nobody in here has obeyed the law perfectly. Everybody in here got an issue. There's nobody in here that has obeyed perfectly, all right? And he said, since no one except Jesus has ever obeyed the law perfectly, we are all disqualified from these blessings based on our performance. But the good news is that these blessings are part of our inheritance because we've been given the gift of the perfect obedience of Jesus. So once you got born again, Jesus gave everybody that got born again the gift of perfect obedience. It was the gift of his perfect obedience. And so we are not blessed because we obeyed perfectly. We are blessed because Jesus obeyed perfectly. Please understand, now that you're born again, because of the gift of perfect obedience that came when you believed and received Jesus, you get none of the curses. Jesus died and therefore remove the curse of the law from your life. You get none of the curses, but you get all of the blessings. And you're not blessed because you're so awesome. You're not blessed because you're so good. You are blessed because of the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. You are blessed because of Jesus. You're not blessed because you pray in tongues more than everybody else. You're not blessed because you come to church more than anybody else. You are blessed because of Jesus. Take Jesus out of the equation and you can't be blessed. You most likely will operate under the curse. You are blessed because of Jesus. Now, I don't know how many times you've heard, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that. No, no. What you got to do is believe Jesus, because without him, you don't get the blessing. If everybody understand that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, go to Hebrews 3, verse 18 through 19. Hebrews 3, verse 18 through 19. So what does it mean to obey? Because over in Deuteronomy, in order to get the blessings, you had to give perfect obedience. But what does it mean to obey under this new covenant of grace that you and I live by? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, you are no longer under the law, but you are under grace. Somebody shout, I'm under grace. All right, now watch this. Hebrews 3, 18 and 19 in the let's look at the New King James Version. Verse 18 says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I want you to look at, put it on the screen one more time. I want you to look at this. Now, some people may say, well, I don't agree with that, and that's fine. But if you say I live by the Bible, it's not, because the Bible is very clear. That's so interesting. You can't say you live by the Bible and look and see what the Bible says and then say, well, I don't agree with that. Because you're not supposed to change the Word. You're supposed to allow the Word to change you. Amen? All right, so look at what he says. He says, so we see that they could not enter into that rest because of their unbelief. Unbelief kept them from entering in. Go back up to verse 18. Okay. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter in his rest? Who did he swear that to? To those who did not obey. So right here in this verse of Scripture, you can't enter in if you are in disobedience, right? All right, go to verse 19 again. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. But see, instead of saying those who did not obey, he uses the synonym unbelief. So right here, verse 18 and 19, unbelief is equal to disobedience. So in the New Testament, disobedience is unbelief. Under the covenant of grace, when you operate in unbelief, you're operating in disobedience. In the new covenant, when you operate in belief, that's called your obedience. You see, in the old covenant, obedience had to occur in your actions first. But in the new covenant, obedience occurs in your belief first, and then your belief determines your actions. If you do not believe, you are in disobedience. If you do believe, you are in obedience. If everybody understands that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now, in light of God equating belief with obedience, our actions are not the first place where obedience must occur. So it is no longer God looking at you saying, you got to be obedient by doing this, by doing that, by doing this. It switched. In the new covenant, he says, no, let's get a little deeper. You are in obedience by believing this, by believing this, by believing that. And your belief will determine your actions. So in light of God equating belief with obedience, our actions are not first place where obedience must occur. Obedience begins in the same place where everything else in our relationship begins with. Obedience begins and believing begins with the gospel. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus? Do you believe? Because if you believe Jesus and his finished works, you are in obedience. If you don't believe Jesus and his finished works, you are in disobedience. And so For us today, who are alive today, obeying God is a matter of believing the gospel of grace. Obeying God is a matter of believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do I use Jesus and grace interchangeably? Because Jesus, full of grace. When I talk about grace, I'm talking about Jesus. Grace is not a curriculum. Grace is a person. Jesus, full of grace and truth. And he says, when you believe Jesus and when you believe the gospel, you are in obedience. If you don't believe Jesus and if you don't believe the good news about grace and the good news about Jesus Christ, you are in disobedience. So you can't stand before God and say, well, God, I did this, I did that, he did. Why are you saying I'm in disobedience? Because you didn't believe my son. You didn't believe Jesus. You didn't believe the good news. You didn't believe the gospel. When you don't believe Jesus, when you don't believe the gospel, that's disobedience. When you do believe Jesus, when you do believe the gospel, you are in obedience. Now, if you understand that, say amen. Amen. Now, you see why I got to back up, because I got some radical stuff, but you've got to understand these issues in order to understand where we're coming from. So now, here's one more thing I need to put in there before I start teaching today. What matters, as in the primary focus of a Christian? This is what matters. Because Christian people love spending time judging other people for some reason. For some reason, something whispered in your ear, you're perfect. And now you think you can spend time judging everybody else while you ignore yourself. I don't understand that. And you know, they used to say it like this, a hit dog will holler the loudest. In other words, the people that are judging you most likely are dealing with the same issue that they're judging you about. Instead of shutting up, being quiet, and working on yourself, you talk, pray, somebody say, I'm gonna pray for you. No, you need to pray for yourself. This is something that amazes me throughout the church. We judge the way people live. We judge what people wear. We judge, you know, what happened to people. We just judge folks instead of learning how to keep your mouth closed and say, Lord, thank you that you're helping me. Lord, thank you that you're causing me to grow up. You still, how is it that you can do that? That person got a divorce. They got a divorce. Self-righteousness is the only reason you can do that. Self-righteousness is thinking that you're right before God based on what you have done. Self-righteousness is comparing yourself and saying, well, at least I didn't do that. I know I ain't perfect, but at least you're self-righteous. You're still in sin. You're self-righteous. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't do nothing no more. Now, you used to do all the stuff you judging everybody else about. I don't get it. I don't understand how is it that so many Christians can judge other people like you're ignoring that you got issues yourself. So what matters, the primary focus in your life, now this is so radical, but listen to the whole thing. The primary focus in your life is not your lifestyle, because God is constantly working on us. Some of us are better today than we were last week. You know, because last week you cut somebody out. Somebody, it was slip. It didn't slip. It was right down the corner. You hang on to that. You got a page out of the book of cuss. You just keep in your wallet every now and then, just when you need it. The primary focus is not your lifestyle, but your belief system. The primary focus is your belief system, because what you believe will directly influence your behavior. See, if you start believing the right things, it's going to influence living the right way. But we've been trying to live the right way, and we're not believing the right thing. We've been trying to live the right way without believing the right thing. We've been trying to do right without believing right. And your doing is all messed up because your believing is all messed up. We've been preached a religious, traditional gospel of, I gotta do this in order to make God do that.
We've been believing a gospel that says Jesus is not enough. He did that, but now I need to do my part. He can do his part, and I need to do my part. What's that song you say? All you have to do is take one step, and he will do the rest. The truth about it is, he took all the steps. One no step, ain't no step waiting on you to do. It's to believe all of his steps. Your wrong believing is reason why you keep having wrong actions. You keep living wrong because you believe in wrong. You keep struggling trying to get it right, struggling trying to do this. Lord, help me to do that. Lord, I'm trying to be holy. Lord, I'm trying to be righteous. Lord, I'm trying to get it right. And 20 years later, it's the same prayer. Lord, help me to get it right. Lord, I'm still trying. Ain't nothing changed. You still sweating trying to be a Christian. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And you still struggling trying to get something to happen that Jesus has bled and died and presented to you the gift and says, it is finished. It is finished, meaning everything it costs for you to have this has been paid. And you're still trying to force your payment on heaven, and heaven says, it's paid for. Yeah, Lord, but I'm trying to be righteous. He said, it's paid for. Yeah, but Lord, I'm trying to be redeemed. It's paid for. But Lord, I'm trying to get healed. It's paid for. And this is one I love. Lord, I'm trying to make heaven my home. It's paid for. Are you following now? So what matters, our focus should be on what you believe. That's your focus. I got to believe. And what should I believe? I should believe this unrestricted love that God has for me. That God can now love me with no restrictions. Jesus died, paid the price for sin, paid the price for justice. You know, in the Old Testament, when you did something wrong, God is a just God. There was punishment for that. That's why you read the curses. You did something wrong, a curse came on you. You did something wrong, you go to hell. Yeah, that was the payment. But when Jesus died, he took your place, paid the penalty for everything that you're supposed to have. You should have been the one getting whipped with a cat of nine tails. You should have been on that cross. All of us should have been in hell. But Jesus said, they can't do it. Can I do it for them, Father? Let me do it for them. Let me pay the price for them. Father says, but look, Jesus, you've never sinned. I know, but can I take all of their sins so I can look like I sinned, so hell will allow me admittance? So I can be admitted into hell looking like a sinner, but I've never sinned before. And then I'm going to pay the price for everybody who's supposed to be there. Glory to God. And then on the third day, Lord, you can raise me up from the dead. And he says, if you do that, son, my justice will be satisfied. And now I can love you even when you was crazy. I can love you when you spoke crazy, act crazy, did crazy in the booth, back corner in the dark. Nothing you will ever do because of the price Jesus paid will stop me from loving you. I can now love you with no restrictions. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And we still got church people trying to do stuff. And then we judging people on what they're trying to do. You don't come to church enough. You know the control that's in church? You know, y'all better give your tithes. If not, you're going to go to hell. That ain't true. Do you think the God who loves you with no restriction is going to send you to hell for not giving 10%? Oh, I done rubbed up something now. I'll teach on it later. Well, you know, I messed up last night and I told a big lie. And then somebody says it's a white lie. You have to say it's a white lie because you're trying to find an excuse to not be judged for your sin. But Jesus made sure that all your sin has been judged, but you don't believe it enough. So
You judge yourself, you judge other people. You got issues. Church folks got issues. Church people don't know how to live. We come to church in bondage, and we don't shout until I start preaching on your trauma. So when I start preaching on your trauma, you're like, oh, yes, hallelujah. But when I tell you the answer, you sit down. Like, what the heck? If I sit up there and say, y'all know, you remember how it was when you got beat up and you were let down and you didn't have no money to buy no food. Oh, you preaching now? Well, what am I saying? I'm stirring up your trauma. Mm-hmm. I remember the time, don't you remember the time when you were betrayed? And you got so betrayed, hallelujah, you got messed up in your mind. You were in depression. You used to be on cocaine. You sold your body, hallelujah, for $5.50. And then you said, you better say it. So what we have done, we have become proficient at doing church, and we still don't know how to do life. We know how to do church. Hey! See, we know how to do church. We know how to do church. We don't know how to do life. I can't take it no more. I seriously sat there and think, oh my God. Was I that deceived? Here I am trying to get Jesus to go on the cross. If Jesus had to go on the cross every time somebody sinned, he might as well get some coffee and tea and just stay there. Jesus, why do you want to come off the cross? Well, they want me to go every time they sin. And the truth of the matter is, are y'all ready for the truth? The sin nature has been defeated, but you still missing the mark somewhere in your life. You still missing the mark. You know what concerns God more than you trying to act and play church? You know what concerns him? He's concerned about how we treat one another. And we still don't get that. You think you can come to church and put on your church voice and wear your church clothes and walk around like you all deep and everything? Hallelujah, I'm anointed. Back up. You ain't anointed. You ain't no. Get sit down. Because if you can't walk in love with people, what kind of anointing is that? Where's your anointing flowing from? I'm tired of it. I ain't playing church no more. All the clowns have been dismissed. We ain't doing that no more. No more church circus. It's time to find out who Jesus is. This is the reason why people don't want to come to church no more. They tired of the games. They tired of the religiosity. They tired of the tradition. And like I said the other Sunday, most of the stuff that Christian people are struggling with, they got it from the church. The judgmentalism, they saw it at church. They got it from church. Because we don't even know what we're doing. But we have perfected playing church. We pick up what everybody's doing in church, and we call ourselves holy by that because we don't know Jesus. Being a Christian is about having a personal relationship with a Jesus who can help you mature while you're on the earth. You're never going to get it perfect until he show up. Then you're going to be just like him. But you're going to always be overcoming some issues. Everybody has them. All of us, me, Taffy, we all have them. Issues, you know, I could be real moody and ornery sometimes. But the Lord is still helping me. So you want to judge me for being, I see that sin. Well, Joker, we're going to point, you too. Who? What? No, you did point at me, back at you. There's no space to do no pointing. But the thing we celebrate today is that we have a Jesus who is committed to our transformation.
Are you focused on doing works so that God sees you as obedient? In the Six Message series, Is Your Belief System Offline? Creflo Dollar teaches that obedience is not measured by performance. It's simply believing and having faith in Jesus Christ.
Everything we have and everything we get now as New Testament Christians, we get it because of what Jesus did. The Old Testament was all about you working for God. The New Testament is all about God working for you. Obedience in the New Testament is called belief. Disobedience is called unbelief. Jesus has delivered you from your sin, and the Holy Ghost is changing your behavior.
Order this life-changing CD series today for a love gift of just $35 or more. This series is also available in DVD format for a love gift of $45 or more. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, scan the QR code, or call the number on your screen to order today.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. Engage with Christ on a deeper level. Develop your walk with the Lord and strengthen your faith. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app.
You got to come to the end of yourself where you recognize, I need a Savior. I need an advocate. I need a peace offering.
With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. The app puts you right in the sanctuary with live streaming of services. You can receive practical advice for applying the Word of God to your life every day with our daily devotionals.
There's something about the mercies of God when others want to count you out and stone you and all kinds of things, and pointing fingers, but thank God for Jesus being right there.
Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflowDollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
The Bible teaches us to give generously with a cheerful heart, not out of necessity, but out of a cheerful heart. And that's why I'm so grateful for the friends and partners of this ministry who freely and cheerfully give financial offerings to support us. You understand our vision. You know that when people understand grace, they're empowered to change their lives for the better. Thank you for supporting us with your financial donations. And every time you give, you're being used by God to stop misfortune in someone else's life. And for that, we say thank you. God bless you.
If you want to honor the Lord by sowing financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, call the number on your screen or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
No matter where you are on your personal journey, the Word of God can reach you. At work or simply needing to hear from the Lord, tune in to World Changers every Sunday at 10 a.m. or restream at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Text WATCH NOW to 51555 or visit worldchangers.org for more information about services and stream times. We're in this together. No matter where we are World Changers. See you online.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.